You know, I love the memories feature of Facebook. There's a lot of things about social media that I'm not a big fan of, but the memories feature is pretty cool. This week, Facebook reminded me that 9 years ago, our family was on a trip, and not just any trip. We were on the longest vacation our family has ever taken. We decided to take it almost a full year before we left. We had to plan out our route, we had to buy gear, we had to learn how to camp in bear country. So here you can see we bought this special tent, and it's this really cool tent that was big enough for the four of us, and it actually attaches to the back of our minivan so that we could get the stuff out of our van and get it into our tent, even if it was raining. And then on June 28th, 2011, we pulled out of our driveway in Connecticut. And we drove all the way to Yellowstone. Took us 3 weeks out and back. I don't know if you can see the little red lines on that map of the US, but we went all the way out there to western Wyoming, and then we came back. It was a great trip. It was really fun. We camped in some of the most beautiful places I have ever seen. That picture on the left, that is Granite Hot Springs, which is in Bridger Teton National Forest near Jackson Hole, Wyoming. We'd only planned to be there for one night, and it was so beautiful that we said, we have to change our plans. We're going to stay here a second night. We saw Mount Rushmore. We saw Old Faithful. We saw Devil's Tower. And then we took this amazing whitewater rafting trip. And you can kind of see that the kid in the front there who is looks like a combination of fear and thrill is Chris. That's our son Christopher. And the guide let them all sit in the front. The kids took turns sitting in the front of the boat, and they got to stick their face over the front of the raft, and the splash would come up over them, and it was fantastic. It was one of the best trips of our lives. The steps that we followed to go on that trip were exactly the same steps that these 72 followers of Jesus went through in that passage that Garcia's just read to us this morning. Really, just four simple steps: follow, learn, go, and do. Can you see those steps in my story about our trip? We decided to go months before we actually left. We had to prepare, we had to learn, we had to plan our route. And then we actually left. But only after we had left, after we had gone, were we able to do the things that we had planned. But what about those disciples in Luke chapter 10? When did they start following Jesus? Well, we don't know, right? Doesn't say. We know the origin stories for most of the 12, for Peter and Andrew and John, James, Matthew. But we don't know how any of these 72 started following Jesus. We don't even know their names. All we know is they made the choice at some point. They must have, because they were there for him to call on them. Okay, well, great. So they're following Jesus. How did they learn what they needed to do? Because Jesus is about to send them off. Well, they learned by spending time with Jesus. They watched him heal the sick. They listened to him. Maybe some of them were there when he fed the thousands of people. They walked with him. They talked with him. They heard his parables. They picked up what they needed to know through hanging out with the greatest teacher who ever lived. And that took a while. We don't know how long it took. Months? Years? But then we get to the episode here in the passage that we've just read. One day, Jesus gathered 72 of his followers out of the crowd. He didn't call Peter, he didn't call John or any of the 12, because he'd called them already in chapter 9. These were 72 no-names. Maybe they just thought they were part of the crowd. Maybe they thought it was cool to follow this Jesus guy. So just imagine with me for a minute, what must it have been like to be one of those 72? You're minding your own business, you're following Jesus, you're walking around, and he calls you out. Hey, Diane. Hey, John. Come over here. I want to talk to you for a minute. And then he said this. He said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. Go. Go? Did he just say go to me? Nah. Jesus, you must be looking for somebody else. How would you feel if Jesus picked you out of the crowd of followers and said, go? Would you be nervous? Would you be excited? Maybe some of both? I wonder if any of the 72 wanted to back out. I wonder if anybody thought, I can't do that. But the moment where we have to go is where life gets real. There's not a lot of risk in deciding to follow, usually. And learning's very safe. You know, you're reading books, you're taking classes, you're doing exercises. It's what if, right? Both of those steps are really important. But if we get stuck there, if we never go, we never experience what we were made to do. So what if my family had never left on our trip, but had only set up our tent in the driveway? You know, when we left, did we know that everything would go perfectly? Not really. We knew we might get lost. We knew we might have car trouble. We might get wet. Actually, I think all those things happened. But we still had a great trip. We had to go to have the experiences that I talked about. Think about your own life. What if you joined a soccer team and you went to practice, but you never actually played in any games? Well, what's the point of that? And the disciples had to go to live out the calling that Jesus had for them. But here's the cool thing. Jesus had prepared them. All of the learning that had prepared them to do what he was asking for them to do now, he had given to them. And then just before he sent them, he reminded them of their mission, and he told them it wasn't all going to go perfectly. Listen again to verses 8 through 11. Jesus said this. He said, when you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal those there who are ill and tell them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, even the dust of this town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you, but know this, be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. He reset their expectations so they knew that their job was to share the kingdom. Whether those people accepted it or not was up to them. And so, nerves and all, no names and all, they went. And you know, I love the story. I really do. I love it because on most days, I don't feel like any of the 12 disciples. Do you? I mean, I feel a lot more like the crowd following Jesus, watching him do amazing things. You know, I see other super Christians that we all see on television or read about in books doing amazing things. Well, guess what? The message of this passage is every follower can go and do things for Jesus, even ones with no names. And so as a church and as believers, we're called to go. Look, this is not comfortable for me to say, and I probably need to hold a mirror up when I say this as I do, because I need to hear this as much as anyone, but we're called to go. Jesus told his followers this over and over. I mean, just look at the Great Commission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Choosing to follow Jesus, you know, the first step, it's super important, right? We rejoice when someone decides to follow Jesus, and we should. And learning is important. I led the adult discipleship program here at church for a couple of years, and I love teaching classes. I love doing what I'm doing right now. I love being in classes as well. But if all we do is learn and learn and learn, but never go, we don't get to go to the experiences that come from doing. What if the 72 had never gone? But they did go. And because they went, they got to do. And there's a deep satisfaction that comes from actually doing something. Not just talking about it, not just training about it, but doing it. Think about finishing a project at work or at home, or playing in a game, even when you don't win. Or those memories, you know, that we have from our Yellowstone trip. Those all come from doing things. So what did the disciples do in this passage? Well, Jesus told them to heal the sick and proclaim the kingdom of God. So they went. And we don't have a lot of detail, but we can be pretty sure that they told their stories about what they had seen Jesus do and what they had experienced being with him. And then in verse 17, a little later in the chapter, they came back and they said, it says, the 72 returned with joy. So I'm guessing they healed the sick and they proclaimed the kingdom of God because that's what Jesus told them to do, and they came back and they were joyful. And then the disciples said something else too. They said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. Even the demons submit to us in your name. I don't remember Jesus saying anything about that, but it happened. Have you ever experienced that? We don't talk so much about having demons submit to us, but think about it for a minute. Have you experienced that? I have. My life was saved by the name of Jesus. I've seen men set free from terrible addictions through the power of God when they had tried everything else and it had failed. Talk to Mike Schecker or talk to any of the Alpha team. They can tell you amazing stories of when people have had their lives turned around by God. Talk to our missionaries. I'm sure a lot of you have your own stories. In each story, someone had to go so that they were there to do. And it's only when we do that we are in a position to see God work his miracles in our lives. But here's the thing I want you to catch that makes the gospel different from these other experiences that I've been talking about, like our trip or like playing soccer or so many of the other things we do. Because when we went on our Yellowstone trip, I mean, it was a great time. But when we got done, it was over. We got to the end of the circle. But the good news about Jesus and the gospel is that it completes the cycle. As we go and we do, others learn about Jesus, and they start to follow him. And then the cycle starts all over again. And new people follow, and they learn, and they go, and they do. And you know what? That's been going on for 2,000 years. The reason why we're all here is because for the last two millennia, people have learned about Jesus, and then they've gone and told other people, and then those people have told other people all the way down to us today. And one thing that I think would be really cool to do someday when I'm up in glory with everybody else who's ever followed Jesus is to walk my path all the way back through this circle. And I want to go all the way back and find out who's every single person in that chain that gets me back to Jesus. That would be cool. But for now, our job is to keep the circle going forward, because we get to be part of that cycle. And as we get to be part of it, we invite others to be part of it, and it goes, and it goes, and it goes. So you may have heard a few times in this that I've talked about stories. The disciples told their stories to the people in those towns. I had a story about going on my trip. We all have stories that we use to tell people about our lives and about Jesus and about the things around us. Austin talked about stories a few weeks ago when he preached up here. And last week we got to hear stories from several people in our community in the conversation about racial justice. We all have stories of how God is working in our lives. So I want to lead us all in a very simple exercise to make it easy to share your own story. Because that's the connection between doing and someone else choosing to follow. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take us through a really simple exercise on how to tell your own story, a story of how God's worked in your life, in 90 seconds, so that when you go and meet someone, you can explain why you're following this Jesus. This is very simple. It's out of a book called Spiritual Practices and Community. And I've used this with other people, and it works. It's really fun. So if grab a piece of paper and a pencil, or if you've got your phone, you can just sort of you can use your phone and you can type these in as you go. And we're going to go through 6 really simple questions. And then what I'm going to invite you to do, if you're watching this with family or with friends, I'm going to invite you as soon as the service is over to tell your story to your mom or your dad or your child or your friend and have them tell you their story as well. And then celebrate. Celebrate the things that God's doing in our lives. So you ready? Okay. Hey, let's go. All right. So the first thing I'm going to ask you all to do, I'm just going to give you a few seconds because this is easy. And I'm going to ask you to think about a time that God did something in your life. In your life, not somebody else's life. This is about me. It's about you. It's your story. It could be when you came to faith, or it could be something that he did recently in your life. So I'm just going to give you a few moments. We're going to be quiet. And think about a time when God did something in your life. Get it in your head. Okay? Okay, you got it? All right. Now, 6 really simple questions, and I'm only going to give you about 10 or 15 seconds for each of these because we want this to be easy and short. So the first question is, when did this happen? When did it happen? 2011? 2020? When did it happen? Just write it down. Okay, got it? Cool. All right, next question. Where did it happen? At church? At home? In Europe? Just write it down. Okay. See, these are easy. We're going to get through these. These are good. Next question. Who was involved? Who was there with you? Okay. All right, next question. What happened? This one usually takes a little bit longer, but just try to write down just one sentence or two sentences really quick so you write down what happened. Okay, next question. What was the action that you took with God? When this story happened, when God showed up in your life, what was the action that you took? What was the next step that you took? Okay, last question. What was the spiritual benefit that you received from God? How are you different now because of this experience? Okay, I know that was quick. But if you just track through those 6 questions with me, you should have the basic outline of a story that you can tell to other people. Just when did it happen? Where did it happen? Who was involved? What happened? What was the action you took with God? And what was the benefit? Those little pieces are a story. And share that with people. Share that with the people you're watching with right now, or call up a friend after the live stream is over and share it with them. And then go find somebody else to tell your story to. Have a cup of coffee. Pick up the phone. See where it goes. Take the kingdom of God to those who need it. And remember these words of Jesus. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go.